Technorama, episode 437, Solve for X.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
My math teacher gave me this problem to find the last digit of pi.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning guest, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp in that ominous music part. How are you, Craig?
Who? What? Where? Oh, yeah, I hear it now. It's beautiful. No, I'm doing okay.
Sounds like a demonic possession or something, now that I think about it.
I will conjure up the spirits of the underworld.
The spirits of the underwear.
I said world. It'd be okay. I could see where it'd go either way.
Here we are once again, ready to entertain you, I hope. Inform you.
Dance, monkey.
Was that a comment at me?
Yes. Entertain me, Chuck. Dance, monkey.
All right, then you can look forward to this in this episode. We scour the internet for thousands and thousands of articles, and this is the best we can do. We have a lead balloon, we have wax waz, and another use for Viagra. I can only wait.
In the heart of the Midwest, a mystery is brewing.
I want you to explain to me why a federal agency issue a report for a boy who died 32 years ago.
In the heart of a family, faith is being tested.
The DNA test came back. Jacob is your son, Mr. Lex.
In the heart of the listeners, questions will rise.
Did I die? Did we all die?
Noodle Mix Network, in partnership with MediaVoiceovers.com, proudly present the one podcast that will get to the heart of what it truly means to be alive. Join Wayne Henderson and Troy Heinrichs for Resurrection Revealed. Watch ABC's Resurrection, then subscribe to get to the heart of each episode. Follow on Twitter at Resurrection Pod and listen all season at ResurrectionRevealed.com.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Adam Savage can say Technorama, right?
That idea is 10 years old.
Oh, almost. Yeah, it was the fall of 05.
Yeah.
It sounds just as good as the day he recorded it. It doesn't sound antique at all.
So I'm thinking, wow, we need to get some new IDs. And then you play that and went, that's 10 years old. Yep, we need to get new IDs.
Well, we've got a new ID coming because we've got another interview. On Wednesday, we're going to be talking with the gentleman from the, what was it, the Interface Experience?
Yes.
That university was, out in New York that we were talking about a few weeks ago.
Time before touch screens, right? Isn't that right?
It sounds like the dinosaurs, man.
No, that was the whole thing about the exhibit he put together, right?
He wants to bring the clunk back. Yeah, yeah. We're going to be talking to him. Don't know how long or short it'll be, but that's this minutes. Wednesday.
Nonsense.
If it's 10 minutes, we'll stick it right in the show. You can listen to it as a feature.
That's right. There you go.
All right. Speaking of features, here comes the marching band. On this day in history for June 3rd, 2015, this is the 154th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 211 days remaining in 2015. Jeez. It's going fast. It was on this date in 1539 that Hernando de Soto claims Florida for Spain.
And June 3rd, 1621, the Dutch West India Company receives a charter for New Netherland.
Whatever happened to New Netherland?
It's old now.
just became Netherlands?
Yeah, they dropped the new.
That same date in 1888, the poem Casey at the Bat by Ernest Lawrence Thayer is published in the San Francisco Examiner.
And there's a statue of Casey at the Bat here in Rock Hill. The Transcontinental Canadian Pacific Railway is completed on this date in 1889.
Also today in 1889, that very same date, the first long-distance electric power transmission line in the United States is completed, running 14 miles or 23 kilometers between a generator at Willamette Falls and downtown Portland, Oregon.
And the launch of Gemini 4, the first multi-day space mission by a NASA crew. Ed White, a crew member, performs the first American spacewalk on this date in 1965.
50 years ago today. How about that? We were walking in space.
I remember when? That was before my time.
It was slightly after my time. Happy birthday goes out on this date to Scottish English mathematician and astronomer David Gregory, born on this date in 1659.
And also born on this date in 1864, Ransom E. Olds, the American businessman who founded Oatmobile, and Rio. I love that band. REO?
REO. The REO Speedwagon came out of the REO Motor Car Company.
That's right. Rio, the Rio Motor Company.
Glad they didn't call themselves the Edsel.
That's right.
Adelaide Ames, American astronomer, was born June 3rd, 1900.
And also on this date, this is also the 86th birthday of Chuck Barris, American game show host and producer who created the Newlywed Game and the Dating Game.
Wasn't he the host of the Gong Show, too? I'm pretty sure he was. American computer scientist and engineer David L. Mills turned 77.
And Susan Landau, the American mathematician and engineer, is 61.
And finally, American lawyer, academic, and author who founded the Creative Commons, Lawrence Lessig, is 54. And that's the way it was on this day in history for June 3rd, 2015. How's that?
Wow, we ended it right on the nose?
No, we kicked the band out right on the nose.
It's like, wow, that's pretty good.
They're still practicing in the back.
Yeah, I hear. Hey, by the way, you know, we had a car company here in Rock Hill for a while.
You did?
Yeah, way back in, it was in business from 1916 to 1925. It was the Anderson, Anderson Motor Company, and they produce cars here in Rock Hill.
I heard some story that back in the early 20th century that there were something like hundreds of motor car companies. Everybody was trying to get their hands into this. It was kind of like the computer industry in the 80s and 90s where anyone thought they could start up a new PC clone. Well, this was anyone thought they could start up a car company.
And I think that's where this one kind of was born from as well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
The American entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well.
Yes, and it stinks. I'm taking it.
Well, it's stinks. We need that clip back.
Yeah, where's old clip?
Oh, great news, everyone.
Oh, here's the great news. Surprisingly, this actually fits with Farnsworth doing that. Turns out that Viagra could be a new way to fight malaria. They found a new use for this. Where was this when I was 14?
You had malaria?
No, I needed to take malaria medicine because I was going to Honduras.
Oh, I was like, well,
can you imagine? The
other half of the story, Chuck either had malaria or he had some kind of deficiency and he needed Viagra for it.
Can you imagine a 14-year-old taking Viagra? Well, Viagra was famously discovered when researchers testing a high blood pressure drug found that it had a curious side effect, erections. The pill may have another unexpected benefit, too. A new study in human blood cells finds that Viagra, or drugs like it, could be used to prevent the transmission of malaria. And the world desperately needs new ways to treat malaria. The disease
It's hard to get rid of malaria.
It affects nearly 200 million people a year, and the resistance to drugs is on the rise.
I think you missed my pun.
I'm just moving right past it there, Craig. You can have fun with that all you want.
The Viagra business is looking up.
The parasites that cause malaria, which belong... I'm trying to do real news here. You're really taking this show...
Like
we haven't done that in the past, right? The parasite...
A downturn?
I wish you'd quit shooting off like that.
Stop it.
I'm trying to break
Craig. We're editing this out, aren't we?
No, this is staying. The parasites that cause malaria, which belong to the genus Plasmodium. Wasn't that like a band on the Jetsons or something?
It may have been.
Have a complex life cycle that require it to move between humans and mosquito. Drugs like Viagra could keep Plasmodium out of human blood, breaking the cycle of transmission. Here's how it works. We're not going to go through this because it has a bunch of letters in it that I'm going to have problems with.
Right.
But Viagra also inhibits a similar enzyme that breaks down a similar molecule called CAMP, CAMP. And increasing levels of CAMP, or CAMP, or however you want to say that. And here... things get interesting. When blood cells infected with the malaria parasite are exposed to more CAMP, they become... oh, gosh, I have to read this, don't I? When parasites exposed to more CAMP, they become hard and stiff. An obvious sign of infection. These hard, unhealthy cells can be filtered out of the blood by the spleen. Mosquitoes biting an infected human won't pick up the parasite anymore. Unfortunately, this isn't a cure for a person already infected with malaria, but it could prevent transmission by mosquitoes to even more victims.
Well, here's another side effect. If you take Viagra, maybe people wouldn't go outside to get malaria.
The mosquitoes come inside, too.
Yeah, let's just drop this story. Move them right along.
Okay, we have the cyber turtle then. Do you want to read the one about the turtle?
Sure.
This is actually kind of cool.
Okay, so here we go. Look, we know the sea turtle's prosthetic beak. What? Wait a minute.
There's a picture.
Okay, so there's a wound. Yeah, so we got a wound turtle.
This sea turtle's prosthetic beak.
Yeah. We know this. And if the picture, obviously, it looks like he looks like something out of a movie. He's got a prosthetic attached to his beak. So it says, we know this sea turtle's prosthetic beak has a tragic backstory, but it is sure, you got this whole thing with the talk a minute ago has got me broken up.
Do you want me to continue?
No, but it is sure, but it sure makes the reptile look like it has a future badass pizza loving Ninja Turtle. According to 3D printing industry, Turkish animal rescuers found it almost lifeless in sea after a boater propeller shaved off a huge part of its snout. That's terrible. It escaped the clutches of death thanks to the kind folks, but a turtle that has to be a hand-fed and can never survive in the wild. That is why the organization contracted 3D printing service provider BT Tech Innovation, which took the turtle CT scans to create a beak that would fit perfectly. And it does. It looks like it molds on there quite nicely.
Looks like it's riveted to his face.
Yeah, that's what I was just looking at. I was wondering if there was some point when it would actually grow off or...
I don't think so. I think that shell material that his face is made of, I mean, the picture of him wounded is very tragic. It looks like he just got his face exploded. And there's no way this thing could have ever ate. So they gave him the new right side of his beak from the front to behind the eye and the lower jaw are all redone with a 3D printer. And I thought that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I like how they got it branded too. So so other sea life will know where it came from.
Yeah, thanks, Inatech, or wherever he came from. At first, anyway, I thought his eye was kind of metal around it, too, but that's the way that the sea turtle's natural eyelid and things look.
Mm-hmm. So the company recreated the reptile's upper and lower jaw through software, and it printed out the resulting design using medical-grade titanium. Cool. The beak has been surgically attached recently, so the critter is still in recovery, but is just doing fine. As you can see in the video below, I'm not going to play the video, but once it's done recovering, the rescuers plan to release it back to the ocean and live a normal turtle life. We're happy for it. We really are. We are too. I'm sorry. I just kept reading.
3D printers. Woohoo. Very cool. I
wonder what it takes to print titanium as a material.
Well, I know they printed the skull. They took measurements and scanned and stuff. And then they printed his head with all the damage around it. And maybe they used that. I don't know that they printed the titanium.
No. That was my question is, it said they printed it with titanium. Using medical grade titanium. Oh, so how did they actually print that? I mean, I know how they form the shape, but I'm trying to figure out how it prints titanium. That sounds, you have to melt it. I don't know do that. Or you make a mold and pour it in. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Are you putting the ones and twos back in?
Because those were helping me line up what numbers the pictures go with.
Oh,
so we know we're on story 7.
I'm sitting there cleaning up the show notes.
Well, clean them up at the end. We need those to stay on track.
Okay.
It's the listener birthday calendar. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, we need some music there. Happy birthday goes out today, June. We're in the week of June 3rd. So June 4th is posthumously Leo Schwarren. May he rest in peace, but longtime listener when he was alive. June 4th is also Tara Parkman. Daughter of Richard Parkman. Oh, we've got the whole family thing going on. That's great. Adam Larson, a.k.a. Uncle Adam, is on the 6th. Also on the 6th is Grandma Grace, born in 1921. Wow. Do we really have a 94-year-old listener out there?
Maybe.
That would be awesome.
That would be cool. That would be awesome.
Maybe we should have some contest. Find out who our oldest listener is.
Can she call in?
I'm not putting it past her to call.
No, I'm serious. That'd be awesome.
Oh, that would be neat. Leave us a voicemail, 206-222-2428. Also on June 8th is Bobby Irvin. We don't know how old he is, but if you're older than Grandma Grace, let us know. You can call too. If you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar, visit our wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki. Get your name out there, and we will give you a shout out when it's your birthday. Hopefully we'll be around that week. I know we've had a few weeks off because of personal and work related things that are getting in the way.
Hey, by the way.
Yes.
Speaking of 92-year-olds, did you hear about Harriet Thompson?
No.
She is going to be the oldest woman to have complete a full 26.2-mile marathon.
It's 26.1? No, it's 26.2. Yeah, it's 13.1 is a half.
She's 92 years old.
How long does it take her?
Oh, here you go. She finished with a time of 7 hours, 24 minutes.
It's probably faster than I'd make it.
She's 92, man. That's awesome that she finished it.
She's almost twice my age and probably half my time.
Yeah, right. Chuck's time is 2 days and 3 minutes.
It's measured in calendar weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
Whoops, that's not the right cue. Where is it? Not electromagnetic. I need... There, electro beep.
Hacks and strange stories.
All that electro's throwing you off.
Yeah, we have 3 of them tonight. We have, since we're in the Arizona area, this one caught me kind of funny.
I pulled up the article and immediately see the picture and I'm laughing.
It's a cactus with a camera in it. That's right. In dystopian science fiction, overbearing police states have cameras and sensors perched on everything imaginable, like buildings, lampposts, human bodies, and fake desert flora.
It's kind of like those fake, it looks like one of those fake cell phone towers. They try to disguise it.
They look like bad Christmas trees or bad palm trees. Yeah.
I've seen one like, hey, it doesn't look terrible.
At first blush, but this looks like a saguaro.
Well, the one I saw, it doesn't look terrible, but it's like there's no other tree as tall as that one around, so it sticks out anyway.
Right. Yeah, we've got a palm tree like that, too, as you're going down Highway 51. Anyway, a local Fox affiliate in Paradise Valley, Arizona, reports that over the past few days, the town has been quietly installing license plate readers on fake cacti. Although fake plants have been used to hide unsightly telephone poles, for example, cameras would definitely be a first. Local officials say the cameras aren't meant to be a secret, just a purely aesthetic decision spurred by lack of light poles in the area.
Mm-hmm.
That would all be fine and good if license plate readers weren't contentious technology as it is. The ideal purpose of LPRs, license plate readers, is to track cars in order to aid in amber alerts and traffic violations. The problem with that is it's well known that government is using the technology to track millions of cars. An incredibly small amount of license plate, quote, hits even amount to anything. And just this week, a man sued police for unlawful use of LPRs. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In North Carolina, for a time, they had the red light cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And those were deemed illegal because of the... And it wasn't so much,
really?
I don't think, as the... Yes. Yes, it was. They had to shut it down. But the reason was, I think... It's been a while since I've read the story at all. But the reason was, it was because they contracted out with a third-party company. And then, you know, then you get into a thing, well, are you really trying to keep people from breaking the law, or just, you know, it's a business transaction almost, because you got this company that's supposed to be collecting money, and they get a cut, because, and so does the state.
Hmm.
You know, so then you got a profit motive in there, and that's why it didn't look right. So I don't know. But yeah, they may be back now, but I don't, they were down for a while because of that.
Okay. Well, when you see a story that has go-kart and jet powered on it, I think Technorama. I don't know about you.
I think Mario Kart.
Well, Mario Kart, even better.
Yes.
Why don't you take this one, since there's no one else in the studio to read?
Okay. So this is a video of Colin Furzy, I think. He's made some previous projects, as his 50-mile-per-hour baby carriage, his Wolverine claws, pyro flamethrowers, and Magneto boots. And I have seen these videos. I do subscribe to his YouTube channel. And his homemade jet-powered go-kart, which looks insane. And I don't know if anybody should sit on the front of this thing. So the kart is capable of reaching speeds up to 60 miles an hour. Yes, 60 miles an hour. They already make a gas-powered go-karts that can go over 150. I suspect that this jet-powered one will be able to do at least 300. Yes, it looks like it.
It's jet-powered, and he only gets it up to 60.
I don't know, man. It just looks like it's ripe to explode right behind your butt.
Do you see the glowing red-hot the pipes?
Yes. It's right behind the seat.
And I hope that's some sort of heat shield or porcelain barrier, because that baby gets hot. They do show some night clips of this thing, and most of the exhaust is glowing red hot. This just looks dangerous. And, oh, by the way, no helmet, no seatbelt on this video either.
Yes.
This guy's got a death wish.
That was insane. He did do a jet-powered bicycle.
I want to see this, because I want to see the 50-mile-an-hour baby carriage.
Yeah, you can go check out his... I subscribe to his website, so from time to time, his videos will pop up. And the Magneto boots were kind of cool. This is when the...
I think I did see that, where he was walking on the ceiling.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yes.
He did that when the last X-Men movie was coming out. Yeah, and he had electromagnets on his boots, and he made a rail that he could walk upside down on.
Very cool.
The rail meaning it was just metal rail. It wasn't like
the
rail wasn't holding him up, just the magnets, the sheer force of the magnets were.
All right, we are ripping through the stories because we don't have as much crosstalk tonight with other guests. So let's keep them going.
Oh, I can go find some more stories.
Or guests. I was hoping you were going to find some guests.
Yeah, hold on. I'll be right back.
Just before we started, I saw Julie on Skype and asked her if she wanted to be part of the show. She's still part of the team. She said, audio quality is probably not going to be too good.
You can add her in as a dial-in on Skype.
I know. Just call on the phone. We'd have to send her the show notes so she knows how to follow along. If you can do it, she can do it.
Wait, what?
be a remote. Okay. Anyway, article on... lead balloons. Yes, the lead balloon follows the chocolate teapot into reality.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait a minute. We've already seen the lead balloon on the Mythbusters. That's not the same thing?
Don't believe so.
Okay.
Engineering design students have struck another blow against the idiom by successfully flying a lead balloon. They responded to a challenge by British TV's The One Show, which last year asked chocolate producer Nestle to make a chocolate teapot based around the idiom that such a receptacle is the epitome of uselessness. Oh, you know, like screen door on a submarine kind of thing.
Right.
In fact, it proved possible to build a teapot that could hold boiling water for 2 minutes and then pour a drinkable, if slightly chocolatey, cup of tea. It turned out that by using dark chocolate with 65% cocoa solids and making the pot thick enough, 2 feet thick, I hope, the inner layer of the pot melting actually prevented further damage by acting as insulation. Kind of like when you sleep in a snow igloo thing, keeps you warm without melting.
Yeah.
The show followed up by asking students at the University of Bristol to produce and fly a lead balloon, something that is normally a metaphor for an idea sinking or going down badly, like a Led Zeppelin.
Right.
Maybe they'll build that next. Producing the balloon involved two main elements. The first was using a lead foil that was a mere 0.0016 millimeters thick. What is that, 16 microns? No, micron would be 0.001, right? Because a micron is a thousandth.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, 1,600 microns thick, if you know those measurements, whatever. Though still weighing six times as much as the equivalent amount of, quote, regular foil, which likely refers to aluminium foil used for food. Wow. The second element was shaping this into a working balloon. An initial attempt using a wooden frame to put it onto an ovoid shape proved too heavy. It's possible the students knew this ahead of time, but couldn't resist the wordplay of calling it a Led Zeppelin. Instead, they turned to origami and overlaid the lead sheets on one another to join them in a specific flat pattern on the ground. See, yes?
This is exactly what Jamie and Adam did.
Maybe they just copied it.
Yeah, somebody at the British TV station didn't do their research because...
What a letdown.
Look, while you were talking,
yes,
When I wasn't paying attention, I looked it up.
Who did episode, it first?
Episode 96 is Lead Balloon from the Mythbusters. And here's the description. Using a lead foil, Adam and Jamie construct a cube-shaped balloon with 10-foot, 3-meter edges out of lead. It was a lead foil.
Mm-hmm.
Even with pure helium inside, a mixture containing air was used with limited buoyancy and reduced the possibility of tearing. The balloon was buoyant enough to support a basket along with some ballast.
This one was much smaller. This was only 1.6 meter cube.
Yeah. Well, they had to do a cube. So as it rose, it kind of twisted a little bit. Kind of unfolded as it stood up. So... this is exactly what they did.
Well, this is rather sad. Let's move on.
I'm calling shenanigans.
Okay.
As you're reading, I'm like, it's playing out as I remember the episode.
Story about a guy who found a ring in a cave and used to turn invisible. That would make great story. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that. Hey, who's in the chat room, Craig?
Well, let's take a look at the chat room. Oh, you know what? I keep forgetting to look at the chat. You know what? We're doing this differently. I'm putting the IRC back up.
Okay. It works out better.
So,
Donna, who's in the chat room as we scroll back through the history? Julie said she'd be there earlier.
She says she's still there. It's just bedtime, though.
Still here. It's bedtime, though. Jeremy Kyle says he'll be a guest.
Jeremy Kyle? Yay. And?
Next up.
We love you, Craig.
Thank you.
Tim Elliott, thank you very much. I feel like Dave Slusher giving his Patreon thanks.
Yeah, that's right.
We love you. Thank you very much. The esteemed Craig Stepp. Craig, thank you.
Old New York
Esquire.
Old New York. What?
Yeah, old New York.
Not New Amsterdam. It was like New Netherlands.
No, it was New Amsterdam.
We knew. Yeah, I knew about New Amsterdam.
It's the lyrics but from the Dutch West, Mighty Giants.
The Dutch West Indies.
Oh, New Netherlands. Yeah.
I don't think New Netherlands is the same as New Amsterdam, but I could be wrong.
I think he's reciting the lyrics to Istanbul from They Might Be Giants.
Jeremy Kyle W.
All right. Let's find out when we have to do that. Remember when.
Do you remember?
What?
Do you don't remember that song?
What song?
Istanbul was Constantinople.
Oh, yes.
That's what it is. Old New York was once New Amsterdam. See?
Oh, is that in there?
Yes.
That song goes too fast. I can't remember all the words.
I just played it for Harrison the other day. I said, oh, wait, you need to hear this.
How recent is it? I mean, do they get into Rhodesia and Zimbabwe? East Germany and West Germany?
No. But see, okay. You know, we homeschool Harrison, so I'm the professor of pop culture.
We'll have to update that one.
Yugoslavia
is now the Slav Republic, and keep that. You can come up with a refresher on that song every year. Anyway, back to Remember When.
Yes.
All right, there was a time when we actually thought chlorine gas was good for cold remedies. Very nice. We know that chlorine is incredibly dangerous. If inhaled, it destroys lung tissue, causing people to asphyxiate on their own pulped lungs. It was used as a weapon in World War I, and soldiers were terrified of it. So why did a U.S. president and a good chunk of Congress get gassed with it as medical treatment? Because very few workers in plants made chlorine gas caught cold. Oh, because very few workers in plants making chlorine gas caught colds either. Workers at bleach manufacturing plants also tend to escape the common cold as well as the flu. That looked like a considerable health benefit in the early 1920s, just after the 1918, quote, Spanish influenza pandemic.
Eureka, we found it!
Yeah. Start inhaling this. See if you get the Spanish flu again.
Here, rub this on your face.
This and DDT.
Yeah.
Some doctors believe that chlorine gas stimulated the secretion of mucus, which helped get rid of colds. Some believed it killed the cold itself. Mostly, they just cared that it worked, and they convinced a lot of people that it could help them. That's how the U.S. government ended up gassing its own president. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge had a cold he just couldn't shake. And so the Chemical Warfare Service sealed him in a chamber and pumped in a bit of chlorine gas. They did this three times, and the treatment was actually successful.
Wow.
After Coolidge came between 23 and 35 senators, accounts may vary, and 135 members of the House of Representatives. Eventually, when other treatments became more effective and when doctors had more of an idea of the damage chlorine does to the lungs, waging chemical warfare against the common cold fell out of favor.
No kidding. I can, you know, imagine chlorine and what else was it that you were just saying? The chlorine and the whatever else.
DDT? Mercury?
No. yeah, but, well, I mean, I imagine those things do sterilize stuff, so...
Yeah,
I mean,
probably because the workers didn't get it because it killed all the germs in the factory. What are they going to get sick off of?
That's what I'm getting at. So it actually did sterilize. I don't know if it was so much as them inhaling it as much as them just working around it.
Yep.
But still, good Lord.
The Media Corner has a couple of entertaining stories. Let's find out.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Hey, by the way.
Yes?
These Star Trek pictures, when they're, some of these from the original series, when they're taken out of context, they just look hilarious.
There's a website.
Spock's got his hand on Kirk's face.
You know, we ought to start looking for something like that, because there's a website called Archie Out of Context, where they take the Archie comics. And out of context, one panel, it's really bad.
Look at that. Tell me that doesn't look a little ridiculous just on first
Yes. Glance. Yes, it does look ridiculous. Yeah. New documents.
And that's why we love Spock.
This is about Star Trek, because at one point, Scotland Yard was worried that Star Trek could cause a doomsday cult. New documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act request show that Scotland Yard kept a secret dossier on various science fiction shows and movies out of fear that they would cause rioting and cyber attacks. On the list of worrying imports were Star Trek, The X-Files, Roswell, Dark Skies, and Lawnmower Man.
Wait a minute. So, okay, Star Trek, well, I immediately think of the original series when we start talking about a fear, you know, Scotland Yard, a fear of them doing, I'm thinking like in the 60s or something. But then you start mentioning The X-Files. I'm like, well, we're talking the 90s now.
They were all over the place. Yeah.
But you know what? You know what's amazing to me? All right. You take just Star Trek by itself and you think they have a fear of all what this could mean for society. But
Gene Roddenberry had a very positive look on the future.
Wait a minute. So all the stories, though, what I'm getting at is all the stories that had to do with Star Trek.
Yeah.
Come from science fiction that was out 10 to 20 years before Star Trek even came around. So
I'm not following you.
What I'm getting at is all the ideas that Star Trek was putting out there was already out there. So why were they all of a sudden worried about Star Trek? Or
Star Trek was actually bringing to light. They were in many cases, they were paralleling current events.
Okay.
Like racism. And anyway, let me keep reading.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Chuck.
We'll grant you that Star Trek and the X-Files, but seriously, how influential was Dark Skies and its 18 episodes, really? The dossier was called UFO, New Religious Movements, and the Millennium, and isn't dated. But the references to the Millennium, the New Millennium, and Heaven's Gate cult seem to date from 1998-1999. The report was honestly worried that TV shows could drive conspiracy theorists to action. Here is a quote. Fuel is added to the fire by television dramas and feature films mostly produced in America. I wish I could do a decent British accent, having just recently been there, but I can't.
Nope.
These draw together the various strands of religion, UFOs, conspiracies, and mystic events, and put them in an entertaining storyline. Obviously, this is not sinister in itself. What is of concern is the devotion certain groups and individuals ascribe to the contents of these programs.
I hope they don't come to Atlanta.
All power to the engines. Yeah. We got in Futurama where they had the cult of Star Trek, the religion.
Yeah. Well, what I was getting at was, okay, maybe it was because of the popularity of the TV shows, but what I was getting at is a lot of the scientific or sci-fi stories are based on stories that have already been out. Okay.
Example?
The Dyson Sphere. I'm not saying that that's a conspiracy theory making story, but the Dyson Sphere was actually Heinlein a story a long time ago based on the books?
This is where we could use Mike and the real literary experts.
Yeah. Dyson Sphere.
Donna, do you remember which?
I'm pulling it up right now.
Donna reads a lot of that stuff too. So turn to our.
But what I was getting at is a lot of the stories in Star Trek. There's been sci-fi and stuff for, you know, over 100 years. So
yeah,
just to all of a sudden be worried about it because it showed up in a TV show is what I'm getting at.
I know.
The concepts are all there.
I know. It's ridiculous, and that's why we put it in the show.
Like I said, I hope they don't go to Dragon Con.
Exactly. Well, and since we're calling shenanigans, I was watching on the airplane back from the UK. Happened to start watching, ran out of time, didn't get to see the whole thing, but Guardians of the Galaxy was on the menu, so I started watching that. And I'm calling shenanigans on that movie.
Wait, which one?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay,
I know this is one of your all-time favorites, and you sleep with it under your pillow at night, that kind of thing.
Not that far, but yes, it's up there.
All right. He's a little boy in 1988, and he gets that Walkman going, right? It's got those orange pads on the earphones.
Yes.
Did you own any earphones with the foam pads on them when you were younger?
I know where you're going with this.
How long did those orange pads last? Because they only lasted like 2 years. And if he was constantly using that for 26 more years, those suckers would have been gone by the time we seen him collecting the orb in the next scene.
I've had motorcycles. I've had headphones.
Motorcycles? Well, how did we get there?
No, I don't know why I said that. I've had headphones that I go, oh, I remember these. And I've been in a box for a while. And yes, the foam, the whatever the material is it's made out of, it deteriorates like just by the touch.
Now, maybe because they probably don't have AA batteries in the Alpha Quadrant or wherever he went and got picked up by what's his face? Blue guy Yondo. Who plays Merle on Yondo. Yeah. Plays Merle on The Walking Dead.
Maybe they
have alternate power sources, so they have alternate orange foam pads for his headphones too, if you suspend disbelief.
Replicators.
Did you see any replicators in that movie?
They don't have to show me that for me to believe they don't exist there.
Yeah, nice.
Hey, Picard used it. He used the hell out of it to make some tea.
Right. Make some great Earl Grey hot.
Maybe, Star-Lord knows the store, the Sony store. He can go pick up some new headphones.
The Sony store. Hey, Ronan. Can you loan me some foam pads? I ran out again.
Yeah.
So that one just struck me. I went, boy, if I had those, they wouldn't have lasted at all.
No. And I'm serious. I had some headphones that were probably... I probably had them a little longer than I should have. But yes, the foam, as soon as you touch it, just rub it a little bit, it's like disintegrates in your hand.
Oh, we've had stuff in the studio fall apart. It's nasty.
Yeah, especially in the studio, you got heat. Yeah,
Mike put headphones on and half of it was still stuck to his head that one night.
Yeah, you and Julie made fun of me, my rubber bands.
Yep.
Well, those get dry rotted because the little room I was in, it would get hot, just like your studio. So the rubber bands would dry out. And that's why I'd sit down and they go, boom, and the hit because the rubber band broke. So yeah, we're made fun of me.
All right.
Now you don't feel so funny, do you?
Yeah, I think it's funny. when you see Mike with black stuff on the sides of his head, and he has no clue. It's funny.
Yeah. Oh, I've had some. Kim was like, what's that on your side of your head? And peel it off as like a piece of the old headphones.
News from this week. We found out that Madame Tussauds, this is in the Geek Library. We still need to find. I'm going to dig through remnants of Mike's music and clip collection. See if I can find something for the Geek Library. That's my mission this week. We found out that Madame Tussauds Wax Museum will be making a wax Woz, a Steve Wozniak replica. Last month, Madame Tussauds asked you, the American public, which tech icon should be the next to be depicted in wax. Competition was stiff among the 10 nominees, with everyone from Elon Musk to George Lucas in the running. But the American public has spoken. Nay, they demanded we must have a wax Woz. Wax Woz will be joining Wax Steve Jobs and Wax Mark Zuckerberg at Madame Tussauds' San Francisco location sometime in the fall. Oh, I thought this was in London.
It's all over. There's one in Vegas.
Yeah, I know there's a big one in London as well. And I was over there thinking, oh, I'll have to come back. But I don't have to come back.
I've got my picture with Patrick Stewart at the Madame Tussauds in Vegas.
Neat.
Am I in the picture? I may not be in the picture. I think I took the picture, but I did see it in Las Vegas a long time ago.
Maybe that's where Clinton got his soundbite too at the end of his show. That's it. We're done, 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 done.
Yeah. Speak up, Picard. Right.
It will take 2 to 3 months for sculptors to complete the waxification process, starting with Wozniak holding completely still for a 3-hour sitting session while 250 measurements are taken. The non-wax Woz issued this statement via Madame Tussauds. I'm incredibly excited to be inducted into Madame Tussauds. If you see the picture on the screen, it looks like he's doing his Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah,
into Madame Tussauds' family. I remember visiting the London Museum as a kid and how cool it was to see Mark Knopfler's figure in wax, says Wozniak. Is Mark Knopfler actually that old?
Mark Knopfler?
Yeah.
Probably.
Wow, I did not realize that. I can't wait to see my figure next to Jobs. It'll be just like old times. Old times, you were a lot thinner, buddy.
Wow.
Cue up some money for nothing in celebration. We love you already, Wax Was.
Mark Knopfler is 65.
So how... That's about the age of Wozniak, too. How did he see him as a kid?
I don't know, in the 80s?
When he was, as a kid. Kid representing what? Less than 18? Something fishy about that statement.
Not sure about that. Oh, well.
The continuity is off. Anyway, we are near the end of our show. We want to know this week's question. Actually, it's good for 2 weeks. Doesn't expire. If you listen to this sometime in July or October of 2015 or 2025, we really don't care. We want to know your opinion. What tech term or terms need to die? Make them go away. Never come back. I hate them. I wish people would stop saying them.
Giggo.
This one's not really a tech term, but we could probably go nuts on other terms as well, and I'm sure people will if I start down this path.
Wait a minute.
What?
Giggo.
Garbage in, garbage
one?
Out? Yes. No. I was saying the one in my head literally is overused because literally means it's written down. It has something to do with literary.
Hey.
Right?
Floppy.
Floppy.
It goes back to our Viagra story earlier.
Turn off the light. That almost goes back to the Viagra story, but well, I'm going to turn off the light and take this show out of here. We want to thank you. Oh, by the way, there's no show next week for June 10th. Sorry.
Oh, man.
I'm out on business again.
I didn't have a talk with your boss.
Well, we do have a special, though, because we do have the voicemail and this regular show this week. So you get a bonus. And we're going to try and get the voice, interview with Kaimon. Come on. I haven't figured out how to say his name yet, but we'll figure that out by the time we interview him.
He'll tell you.
He'll tell us. You. He'll get us a sound bite, and then we'll just use that for another 10 years.
Hey, by the way, and maybe I should have mentioned this in the regular show, but I did go see Tomorrowland.
And?
I enjoyed it. I think it could have used a little something to the story to give it a little more of a punch.
I heard it got stinky reviews, and because it had such a sorry Memorial Day box office showing, that Disney is canceling Tron 3. That's what I read. I'm just telling you what I read.
Tomorrowland, it was a little bit on the preachy side there, but it needed a little something extra in the story to give it an extra punch. I enjoyed it. The visuals were great. I thought it was a good movie, and Harrison and I both enjoyed it. And I've gotten some similar reviews from people. I think it looks like T. Morris enjoyed it. I've seen some people on Facebook that enjoyed it. It's been a half and half on the Rotten Tomato meter.
I'm probably not going to see it in the theater, but what I do want to see is Mad Max Fury Road.
Everybody talks like it's the best movie ever. I'm like,
well, that was Slusher's review, and I don't always align with what he says, but this one, I've been hearing some other good things about it, too.
I like the old Mad Max stuff. Not so much the Thunderdome and all that, but I like the original Mad Max.
All right, let's take us out of here. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, call the listener line 206-222-2428, 206-222-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We want to know about your tech terms that need to die and many other things. Just go to the website, chuckchat.com, click on Technorama, put your name on the birthday calendar, wiki, all that good stuff. We want to hear from you. Thank you to Mad Marv for the news stuff during the week. Thank you, Craig, for hanging out with us.
And thank you, Chuck, for hanging out with me.
Thank you to my lovely wife, Donna, for running the video. Yay! This is where I need the sound effects.
Yay!
And you know what? Thank you to the wonderful people who donate to the tip jar. It's the beginning of June again, beginning of the month. And we love you so very much for continuing that up. Until next time, Craig, could you give me a binary high five one more time?
One more time. Okay. 101.